Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 56 for July 26th, 2008. A guy named Dave. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by AudibleKids.com. To receive 9 kids' audiobooks absolutely free, go to audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks so much for your contribution. We couldn't do TWiT without it. It's time for
Jumping Monkey.
Hi, Jumping Monkey.
Live in Petaluma, California.
Yeah, someday we'll say that. Live from Petaluma. Well, I guess we just did.
We are live to some people at twitlive.tv.
Yeah, you can watch us live at 1:30 every Pacific time every Thursday, 4:30 Eastern. And I'm going to do the math in my head. Watch this. 20:30. Yeah, I don't know. 2030, I think.
Later.
UTC. Or later. No, but it's actually not later.
Not
That's
later.
What's weird about it.
That is weird.
That's what's confusing.
Ooh, that
me.
That is confusing.
It's the same time, but it's another part of the world.
Yeah. Or you can download us, of course, as you may have already, from iTunes or from twit.tv.
Yeah. Definitely subscribe. That's really the best way to listen to Jumping Monkeys. Then you don't miss an episode.
Right.
You know, it comes out, and as soon as it's available, you get it. It's just nice that way.
Right. So we talk about parenting in the digital age, and today we're going to speak to Dave Bruno of GuyNamedDave.com. He started the 100 Thing Challenge.
What's that?
It is by November 2008.
Yes.
He is going to only have 100 things in his life.
Sorry. Not going to happen.
He's already been selling stuff on eBay,
total?
Giving stuff away. 100 things.
I have 100 things on this shelf behind me.
Yeah, 100. I know. You are not. You could never do this.
So the flatware that. Well, we'll have to ask him.
Yeah, we're going to ask him what one. You know, some things
one
count.
Thing is all the forks and knives and spoons.
Right, but he's got. It's really caught on. He's got like
I love
Twitters.
It. Don't
he's
you like that
friend
idea?
Feed, and a lot of people are trying it, and he's gotten a lot of coverage in Time Magazine and different places. So yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. He also has kids, and his wife Leanne is a listener of the show and emails me when she can.
That'd be quite a challenge to figure out what's on that list.
Yeah. I know. Well,
do your kids count?
No. People are not things.
It's
Things are things. People are people. And his kids' things don't count either.
Oh.
So these are his things.
So his wife's things don't count either.
No, I don't think. It's
just
his
these are
things.
My
yeah.
things.
And he was doing this just because, you know, he feels like we have too much stuff in our lives. We're too, you know, concerned with the... So I'm excited to talk to him.
Should be very interesting, yeah.
First, I wanted to mention, I got an email from the Fresh Air Fund. We've talked about them before.
Yeah.
They give vacations to inner city kids on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a few weeks with a family. And they need families, desperately.
Oh, good.
So if you live on the East Coast...
Good, let's promote it.
If you live on the East Coast, go to freshair.smnr.us or just search for Fresh Air Fund. In Google, and sign up if you're interested. If you want to welcome inner city child into your home.
Can you believe they've been doing this since 1877?
Isn't that crazy?
That is amazing.
Yeah. So I'll put the link on Jumping Monkeys too, where you can just, there's an email address. They'll expedite the process for you. So
it says, unless all prospective host families are screened and vetted by the end of July, it's like a week.
Yeah.
These 200 children may miss out.
Right.
So let's get going here.
And if you're listening live right now, I already have a link up on Jumping Monkeys. That's the direct link to sign up, and they'll expedite the process.
Angie will help you.
And you can also donate money if you're not on the East Coast and you want to help in some other way.
That's such a neat idea. What a neat idea.
So I wanted to remind people they could call us. Our phone number, 707-981-4602. If you don't have long distance, you know, all you can eat long distance, then you can go to jumpymonkeys.com and click on the call me button. And that's a free way. You enter your number. It's not saved anywhere. The number's not saved anywhere. And they'll call you back and you'll hear our message.
Neat.
and then you
So it doesn't cost you anything.
Cost you nothing.
The Call Me is free.
Right, and we're not collecting phone numbers, and neither is Google.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that Call Me actually called you.
Yeah, it calls you, and then it's us.
Oh, that's
so
really
it's like
cool.
We're sitting here calling and then, you know, leaving our recorded message.
That's a little weird, but
yes.
I like it. You know, I have to apologize to you because I used the Jumping Monkeys number.
Dane told me you
on the 24
iPhone.
Hours of iPhone.
Uh-huh.
So there's a few messages in here.
Well, Dane told me to come clean it out. And
but
I said that
you don't know how to.
Well, I said I could log in. I assumed I didn't have to come here all the way 4 blocks away
well,
where
don't.
I live.
No, you could log in. But do you have the login?
No, but I asked him for it. And he said you were going to do it.
Well, I was going to do it. I just didn't get around to it. But, you
dear.
Know, I can tell. I could tell which ones came that day because of the date.
Right.
So we have plenty of other ones from other dates.
Okay.
And then eventually I'll go through the ones from that date. And if there's any in there, we'll use them next show.
Yeah.
I just didn't get around to it. I'm still having to sleep extra hours
because of that. You were up all night, weren't you?
Yeah. You know, you, when you're young, you know, in college, you pull all nighters. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Don't do it when you're an adult, and especially if you're over 50. Do not.
Especially if you don't have to because your kid's up. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this who
pull
often pull
anyway.
All nighters,
right.
But that's because they're feeding or taking care of a child.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They probably would have been like, you know, they, I'll
the
bring my
deal?
Kid over there to you if you're going to stay up all night anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have offered that.
Exactly.
All right. Now is the time in the show where we do the spend, save, give. One thing that costs money, one thing that saves you money, and one way to give back to the community.
I don't know what this spend is, but I like its name. What is Doozla?
Doozla. Doozla. It is from Plask. It's a program from Plask.
I love
that. Are you familiar
them.
With Plask?
Oh, yeah.
They do the comic life that you're so fond of.
Yeah. They do Skitch, too, which is about the best thing in the world.
Yeah. So this is just a kid's drawing program. It's a digital drawing program, and it's really cool. You can have coloring pages, freehand drawing for older kids, and then you can take little webcam shots and, like, draw mustaches on them and or, you know, just do. It's a really cool little program. I heard about it from Jean from Smile on My Mac. And she used it with her kids. And you can download it, download the free trial from Plask, P-L-A-S-Q.
Whoa.
Is it breaking your computer?
No, I'm sorry. it's going to, I'm breaking my computer.
Okay, good.
That would be the
it's
person.
It's not Plask's fault.
It's not Plask's fault. It would be me breaking the computer.
So it's $25.95 to buy, but you can download a free trial. And it's a really cool little
So you've played
program.
With it?
I have, yes. I stole Marco's Mac to play with it. It's a Mac-only program.
They say it's the new paper and crayon digitized.
It is.
I like it. Is it crayon?
It's digital drawing. So, yeah it's like crayon.
It's like a crayon.
Paint, you know, the different.
It's really cool.
It is really cool, yeah.
Doozla.
And it's a good thing for, you know, kids to play with on the computer if you don't mind your kids playing on your Macintosh.
No, who would mind that? That's just one less thing.
Now we get to the save. This is a way to save on birthday cards. These are called card sticks. I have two to show you. They're little stick-on gift tags.
Oh, neat.
And they were created, it's a really cute story. They were created by two women and they decided that they were sick of going to birthday parties and having like birthday cards that kids couldn't read or didn't care about and just would rip open and just thought it was kind of wasteful. So they created this little company, Card Sticks with an X. And then they're just like cute little designs and you just stick them right on the present. You don't have to worry about the envelopes. The reason why it's safe is they're 1/3 the cost of the birthday card, which any parent who's on the birthday party circuit knows you're constantly buying birthday cards that just
so you
get
just
thrown off.
You just put them on a piece of cardboard or something.
You put them on the present.
Oh, on the present, so you don't need
you
the card.
You don't need
I
a card.
It.
You just
it.
Stick them right on the present.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so they're really cute and nice graphics. Put them on a piece of cardboard. You put them over another card. No, this is safe.
I wasn't very clear on
you
it.
You don't need the card.
So you
and they're
put
part
this
of the wrapping, and then kids
on
just
the
rip
wrapping.
Them out, and you know, like ripping the wrapping.
So this one says, giggle and tickle. At your tea party birthday toast. And this one says, wishing you oodles of scribbles and doodles and zigzag of birthday fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm wishing you zigzag of birthday fun.
So what these really are just those stickers you put on presents, but they're big.
Yeah, and they're cheaper than cards. And you get them in like 4 packs.
I like them.
And it's cardstickscollection.com.
Save, 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 kids.
All right,
we're
now.
We're saving you money.
We're to the give. This is Very Merry. V-E-R-Y-M-E. R eye. These are t-shirts designed by kids. I wish I had...
You like t-shirts. Do your kids wear a lot of t-shirts?
They do. Yeah.
So this is why you like
them? Don't all kids wear t-shirts?
I guess so. Henry wears a lot of t-shirts.
And they grow out of them fast.
They do. They go right through them.
Yeah. And, you know, I like t-shirts that say funny things, but... they sent me this Kindergarten Rocks t-shirt.
These are
here,
cute.
You can have this little card. But what's cool about these t-shirt is they're designed by kids. So on the back is all the designs. So kids go, you know, send in the designs. And then proceeds from the t-shirts go to Free Arts for Abused Children.
Oh, that's really cool.
And you can also, they also work with fundraising projects. So you can raise money for your school through these cute little t-shirts.
That's really neat. Yeah. I like first grade rocks.
Yeah.
Preschool rocks, kindergarten rocks. Go green. That's a good one.
It'd be weird if you wore the first grade rocks t-shirt.
Oh, do you think they have them in grown-up sizes? Now, those would sell well. I'd like it. I'd like, I mean, a preschool rocks
t-shirt. It makes sense if your kids were in preschool, but yours aren't.
No.
So.
Or I could have the one that says no homework.
Yeah.
So I'm big on that. No
homework. So they're really cute little shirts. Verymerry.com.
Yeah. Woof. These are going to become big with San Francisco hipsters. You're going to see
the
them everywhere.
The go green ones?
No, yeah. Like the cupcake that says popcorn. I think they're going to be very big.
I think they're cute because they're designed by kids too, you know?
Yeah, they look like it, actually. Not in a bad way. In a good way.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to...
I think before we... Decisions. Should we do Dave first, or should we do our Audible pick first?
I think we should wait for our Audible pick. People will have to wait.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it is a good pick.
It is a good pick.
So let's wait, and we're going to talk now to Dave Bruno.
Okay. Tell me about Dave.
Dave is from Guy Named Dave, a website that he started just as his regular blog. But then he decided to start the 100 Thing Challenge, not 100 Things, 100 Thing Challenge.
Why one thing? Why singular, not plural?
I don't know.
Plural.
We'll have to ask him then.
We'll have to ask him. Yeah. We're calling him right now on Skype.
And okay, good.
He's going to... There he is.
Hi there.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, it's Leo with Megan.
Hi, Leo and Megan.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
So how many things are you down to now?
Oh, I don't know. I have too many things to count. But officially, I'd say I'm around 130 or so.
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. So how'd you get the idea to do this?
It might have just been cognitive dissonance or something. The idea came to my mind when I was doing some purging and cleaning of my home office and realized I just had too much stuff and
yes.
needed to do something drastic.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I get that feeling all the time, but I actually never took the next step of saying, "Okay, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff." That's impressive.
Thanks.
And where did you come up with 100?
Well, you know, a couple people have asked me that, and there's no magical answer to that. 100 just sounds like a good number.
Are you wishing you'd said 150 right now?
You know, even 115 actually would have been helpful. But so 100 actually has turned out to be a pretty good number because it's pushing the limits, and at the same time, it seems doable.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So how have you been going about getting rid of your things?
Well, I do a number of things. We've been avid eBayers for years now. And before I decided to do this 100 thing challenge, we have purged through AmVets and eBay and any number of sources for years and years. So eBay, garage sales, AmVets, giving away to friends, or whatever the case may be, all of it's worked.
You're recycling it all, though. That's the important thing. It's not getting thrown out.
Yeah, and no, but there's little guilt pains because a few things probably have been thrown out. But we're trying to be responsible with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So did you make a list and then, like, draw lines through it? Did you just start going through the room? Does a book count as one thing, or does your collection of books count as one thing? Things like that. These are the questions inquiring minds want to know.
Right. And you know what's funny is, and this might just, you know, might end our interview, who knows, but there are a couple of exceptions. For example, I've given myself the luxury of one library.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right.
You're not, I couldn't get down to 100 books. No way.
Yeah, and honestly, and I'm in the publishing industry. I just got back from a conference with, you know, a dozen books that publishers have given me and whatnot. So it's really tough. But in terms of how the list came about, yeah, absolutely. Just sitting down and making some lists and going in the closet and pulling things out, all of the above.
I like this idea.
So what about Leo had the question about flatware? Like, do you only have
one spoon?
What? That's so funny. Yeah, you know, it's funny too because Time Magazine wrote about this, and they mentioned that I had a spork. I had one spork, which was in my camping gear.
Right.
And actually, subsequently, I've lost it since then.
Oh no! That means you get three new things to replace one spork.
Right. Exactly. And there was a big call out. You know, the block quote was, and he's down to using one spork,
which is not true because I'm looking on the blog and it says these are your personal things you're getting rid of, not communal things like plates and spoons and knives.
So they're your wife's plates, and she just lets them you use them.
Right. Well, and what I've tried to say is that if I can. You know, quote unquote, say is 100% mine or mostly mine. Then it's so I'm not sure which plate. You know, we have about six white plates that all look the same. It would be really hard to figure out which one was mine and which one was the kids or whatever the case may be. But yeah, so and really the idea is that there's some practical things that we all need just to eat or to survive. And I'm not so worried about that. I'm a little more concerned in my life with the extra stuff that just accumulates.
Yeah. It's the consumer crap is what you're getting rid of.
Right, exactly. Or at least trying to. And some of it, you know, is somewhat meaningless, you know, could fall into the category of consumer crap for somebody else, but for me I'll keep it and you know, each man's
well,
treasure.
I noticed for instance, and I think this is great, you're keeping memorabilia.
Uh-huh.
But you're doing something interesting with it.
Right.
You're sealing it away.
Yeah, you know, and in some sense, I just thought of that. Because I what I say on the blog too is that, you know, I don't want to be irresponsible. I mean, it's not like I want to give away every gift that my kids or my family have handed down to me, whatever the case may be. But in some sense too, so taking outside the 100 thing challenge, you know, that's not a bad way to handle memorabilia anyways, to put it away for a time. And then kind of, it seems like it's kind of a joyful process, right? To open it back up after a year or more and look through it. And it's like looking through old photographs or something. Yeah.
There. I have to point out there are enough loopholes in here that I don't feel too bad for you. You're keeping your woodworking tools. You're keeping your trains. You're keeping your underwear. No, I'm not going to feel. So, you're not like a monk here,
right?
So, what has been the hardest thing to part with so far?
You know, it's some of it is just the sentimental stuff, and so you know, I don't want to sound flippant here, but I used to do a lot of cycling, riding bikes, and so I had an old, nice old rear derailleur that I just kind of kept in a little junk pile. But you know, it's a memory that doesn't quite fit into that memorabilia box, but it was, you know, it's an important part of life and memory. I don't really need that thing to remember it, but it's stuff like that kind of has some amount of attachment to a person or to some history.
When you get rid of that 12-inch power book, though, call me, will you?
That's right. You still want the G4. Those are kind of still in demand.
Those 12 inches are in demand. I'll take it off your hands. I will.
Well, what talking about technology is a good point. Like, you know, we as geeks, we have to get a new cell phone every 6 months and a new computer.
Right.
And I mean, does that count as one thing if you replace it? Because, I mean, then it's a lot of things adding to the world.
Right. And so I think that's a really good point. So my rules are that once November 12th hits and I kick this thing in, I'm not going to add 101 things and then try to sell something on eBay or whatever. So I need to make sure that I get rid of something first before I add additional. And yeah, with regards to computers, for example, the 12-inch PowerBook, I've thought to myself, you know, I need to make sure that it gets in the right hands. Somebody either will be able to use it or donate it to somebody, you know, somebody who doesn't have a computer, whatever the case may be. So,
no, it should
who
go to
doesn't
a good
have
cost.
A computer. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Who would that be? Yeah, I guess I might have one or two. Okay,
yeah.
I'll admit it. But I think this is really admirable, and I've often wanted to do this. Maybe the better way to describe it for me would be to get down to 100 toys. Because you know, really, that's what these are. These are the non-essential items in your life, right?
Well, and some of them are. I mean, obviously, you know, the clothes are essential and whatnot. But, yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, and maybe these exceptions that I've had, that I've added, like the Marklin trains or the woodworking tools that I is kind of hard to part with, have allowed people to do something like that, Leo, where they say, you know, I'm a scrapbooker and I'm not going to add that to the 100 thing challenge, but I'm still going to try to get rid of, you know, the 50 pairs of shoes or whatever the case may be.
So there's a lot of clutter in our lives.
Yeah. And it's clutter. And then I always talk about it this way with myself or our kids is that, you know, the things, whether they're the toys or, you know, even clothes are easy, right? We use clothes. We know how we use clothes to look good and to cover our bodies and whatnot. But a lot of times with just stuff that accumulates, we forget why we have it. It's almost like getting it as a possession is the end goal. Mm. And, you know, I think just for ourselves as well as for our kids, teaching ourselves and our children that stuff actually has a meaning, a purpose, you know, something that we would do with it. And not just looking at possessions as just things to have and accumulate. So trying to do something a little bit more meaningful with it.
And those Z trains, they're very small, so they shouldn't really count. You know?
It's almost like they're not there.
They're
right?
Just almost invisible. Yeah.
So how has your family responded to this? How have your kids and Leanne, your wife?
Right. You know, they have been supportive and skeptical and occasionally cynical, but they've been really good. And again, I don't know that this would be something to take, you know, to have a child do, you know, to sit down.
No,
we have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old and it practically it isn't, you know, the 3-year-old, how could you get down to 100 clothing items? But then, you know, the other thing too is that, well, and this is one of the things I think children, you know, kind of intuitively know what I just mentioned about stuff. They know that stuff is to be used for other things like socializing or learning or just having fun. You know, sometimes we adults forget, I think, that kind of connection with stuff, but kids, they don't. They get it. They know that they're stuffed animals that are talking to them and they're playing with them and stuff. So,
you don't want to create this sense in kids that they're, if they were to lose things and that, because that's how you make a pack rat in the future, right? All right. You only get 5 things. Pick them now. Pick them now. Move it. I like you. You have a box by your desk of things that you're going to get rid of and you add to them for occasionally. Is that how you do it?
I do. Actually, I'm looking right down at it right now. It's messy.
These are some of the things that are definitely going in the definitely going box. Your balance board, your yoga mat, your backpack, your self-portrait oil painting.
You're right. Which, by the way, I mean, I'll say, in fact, hopefully my mother's not listening, because back in the 90s, no, 80s, late 80s, it won first prize in the Del Mar Fair.
Whoa, dude, you're a painter.
Yeah, exactly. But I haven't painted since then. And it's, if you saw it, it'd be a little embarrassing.
Aren't you going to be sad, though, someday when you say, gosh, I wish I hadn't gotten rid of that self-portrait oil painting that I won the prize for at the Del Mar Fair?
Maybe, but I'll tell you a funny story, though. We just for a joke, we had some friends over one time, and in one of our bathrooms, we hung this up, you know, behind it. And so one of them took their, you know, I think it was their 4 or 5-year-old in to use the restroom, and they came screaming out, like, I don't want to go over there with that painting.
That's a scary painting.
Oh, it's that good, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, avant-garde. So.
Okay.
But I'm sure you have a picture of it, and then, you know, you can save that on your computer, right? And you can look at it.
I probably will do that, yeah.
I guess the point, though, is that, you're kind of going for the idea that things are not what's important in life, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And all of us who like tech gadgets and other things, I mean, we obviously enjoy things, and there's nothing wrong with
sometimes
that.
Sometimes too much.
Sometimes too much, and again,
so someone in our chat room suggests you give the painting to your mom.
She would like that.
You know, I probably should. The only fear I have is that she might
hang it
up in their house. You
know? She's going to save it. I often worry that what I do is promoting a kind of consumerism that I'm really not sure I want to promote, where, you know, we're really always talking about the newest shiny object. And I don't know if that's good for people or good for the country or the earth to be promoting all these shiny products. So I'm kind of glad to see somebody like you, Dave, saying, wait a minute, I don't need all this stuff. Maybe I can pare down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with you, Leo. And it is tough because while I don't have an iPhone yet, there's a possibility that I might pick one up, and it could be a useful work toy. There you go. That's
probably there you go. Yep.
but yeah, you know, these are things that are part of our 21st century life, and right. So you know, I don't think that it's terrible, but there is this pressure to, like Megan, like you said, every 6 months to replace it, and obviously that's not too useful.
Mm-hmm. Ah, you're making me feel guilty. I worry about this stuff all the time.
But I will say this: it is your job, right?
I mean, yeah, maybe I've chosen a bad job. I mean, you know, Hitler's job was being the Führer, well, but it didn't mean it was the right thing to do. Oh, it's just my job. If I have to go to work now,
but part of your job, Leo, is also telling people how they can use what they have more efficiently and not, you know, throw
absolutely.
It away. And you can, you know, you don't have to throw away that computer. You can use it in this way, or, you know.
Yeah, and you guys have some great. I mean, the whole give, save, spend stuff that you do. I mean, we've adopted that with our children.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So it's anyway. I feel bad. So I didn't want to make you feel so guilty.
No, I've thought about this a lot because yeah. I really don't want to be that guy who's saying, "Oh, you got to have the next thing. You got to have the next thing." And I think something. It's kind of in the nature of this business that we do that. So, yeah. And you know, it's not good for your soul. It's not good for, you know, it's not just a matter of clutter. It's not good for you as a person mm-hmm. to be so focused on all of these things.
I think that can be the case, but you know, one thing, you know, I was going to say with regards to our children and then even just, I think, you know, again, adults is, in terms of how to handle stuff and consumerism in general, right? I just think talking about it and an awareness is so valuable. A lot of the TV messaging, a lot of the advertisement we see around is almost like a numbing force or like yeah. a white noise that keeps us from thinking about it. And it's not an excuse to say that I'm just going to think about it and feel guilty from time to time. But I think that if we put it, you know, more forward in our minds to be concerned about these things, I think the average person will make some lifestyle changes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's a simple goal. Not everybody's going to get down to 100 things, but just be a little more aware.
Absolutely. And the reality is that if somebody, you know, just picked one or two things to be more, I mean, the sad reality, of course, in the United States and, of course, you know, even now in China and other countries that are developing, you know, if you just were conscious and making some wise decisions and some, you know, consideration of others, we could actually, you know, make some pretty good progress as a whole.
Well, I'm going to make this pledge. I'm not going to get another cell phone for 3 months, okay? So, so you can count on that.
And you just got one, what, 2 days
well,
ago?
Yeah, Saturday.
Did you get the new iPhone? Or is it a different one?
No, I got the new iPhone.
Yeah.
But your last iPhone you gave away to someone who needed it.
I did, to a needy boy in the next room, my assistant. But he needed it. He's enjoying it. I do have to say, I do pass this stuff along.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things. My wife and I have been married for a little over 12 years now. And so when we were having our 12-year anniversary, I wrote her a little note, and I just Aww. Came to my mind. Yeah, I know. I got her a card. But I wrote down all the things that we had done or gone through, like the toasters and the coffee makers.
Oh, that's neat.
And it was kind of fun. But then the other thing that struck me is I think we'd gone through 8 coffee makers in 12 years.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Several toasters and 4 microwaves. So, you know, that's another thing, too, is I think if we jumped into life, you know, thinking about, you know, I'm going to try to make things last a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things can be helpful or pass them on.
I think that's really great. It's just about being a little less materialistic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, just, you know, doing good things with the stuff we have.
Yeah.
So if people want to join the 100 thing challenge, they can do that on your site, Guy Named Dave. And you also have a Twitter and friend mm-hmm. feed and.
Yeah, thanks for following me, Leo. I saw that come through.
I apologize for not following you sooner. It's Guy Named Dave on Twitter.
That's right. And Dave. And there's a fellow on Facebook, Rob, up in Oregon, who's set up a group. And I think there's about 350 people in there now. And then we've got just a a new and hopefully burgeoning friend feed room as well, 100TC. And so hopefully we'll find some good places to
I'll join that too, yeah.
Do you ever feel like you have too many social networking?
I'm going to cut down to 100 social networks. Can I be on that list? Only 100 Web 2.0 sites. That's it.
It's so. Have you ever gone through and tried to remember which ones you've signed up for?
No.
I think that happened to me the other day, and I signed up and I kept saying you're already signed up.
It happens to me all the time. I'll go to a site. Oh, this is great! I'm so glad I found this. Well, you're already here. What are you talking about? Oh, right. Twitter was like that. I signed up for Twitter, in the first month or two,
and then you forgot.
And I forgot. Yeah. So it's just it's kind of sad. It's kind of an occupational hazard. But right. I like it, and I think that it's good that you're out there, Dave, reminding us that there are more important things in life than how many toys you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. GuyNamedDave.com. Named Dave. Not yes. Guy named Dave. Guy named Dave.
I haven't thought about that. I should get the present tense.
Quickly
too.
Run out and get Guy named.
Yeah.
Guy's name Dave. Guy's named Dave. All of the above. Yeah.
Well, it's thank funny. You so much.
Yeah. And thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And by the way, his wife really isn't all that grouchy, but she does have the Grouchy Ladybug blog.
That's right. That's right.
But she's not all that grouchy. So did she blog because you blog and she's doing it in self-defense?
You know, I've actually tried to be nice and not say anything obviously inappropriate about the kids or my wife. But, she is really sharp, my wife, Leanne. So she has a ton of great things to say. She comments on blogs, and I
That's
kept prodding her saying,
"That's great.
Get your blog.
Good.
People like it.
Yeah. Good. Everybody should blog. Blogging's fun. Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I wish I could blog more. I only get a post out every few weeks because I just have too many other things on my mind.
Dave, new stuff.
Too many things.
Yeah.
Less things, more blogging.
Yeah,
that's my philosophy.
Makes more room for blogging.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate
you.
Your time. Take care.
Alrighty, thanks again.
Dave Bruno, he's a guy named Dave. Yes, he is.
That was interesting.
I find it really inspiring, believe it or not. And I always have been kind of, there's so much clutter and stuff. I love stuff. That's the problem. We do love stuff.
Yeah.
And there's this magpie quality, especially to people in technology. We just want more stuff in our lives. But, you're good. You're pretty good at, I've been to your house. You don't have a lot of clutter in your house.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. Like, the longer we live in a place.
Kids do that.
Yeah.
Kids do that.
Yeah.
There's nothing around that.
That's
I think.
True.
I can't wait till the kids move out and we can throw all their stuff out.
Yeah. What are their rooms going to be?
It's great. I'm going to knock down the wall. And then the upstairs room is going to be a giant. Jennifer wants it to be put a dance floor in and have it be a dance hall. And I'm thinking I want the big screen TV and the surround sound. But I guess we could do both.
Yeah.
And put bean bags in for when we're not dancing.
Right.
So
I assume you've told the kids this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we said, don't after college, don't plan on coming back because there's nothing. There won't be anything here for you. We're taking the closets out, too. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And you're not taking my bed. So that's it. Now, that's why we bought that house. Because it so easily could be converted into a party.
And then what happens
party
when
palace.
They come visit with
They're gonna
kids
come back.
And grandkids?
Oh,
and
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
So it's funny because there's two different forces that go on. You're nowhere near this, so this isn't an issue for you. But as the kids get closer, Abby's going to be a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. She's going away to France this year. They should come back for 1 year, and then she's gone to college. Henry's, going into eighth grade. So in just a few years, empty nest. And there are two ways to go. You get a smaller house.
Right.
Or you get the big house for all the grandkids. And, you want to have a nice big place so the kids will come and visit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't decide which.
I know my parents are funny. When they moved out here,
they have
a pretty
big
house.
You
need a two-bedroom house. Why do you need such a big house? And especially because I live here. I'm not going to stay in there. But we actually did live there for a while after we sold our house.
And it encourages you to come over, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because they have a place that the kids want to be, and the kids can spend the night if they want to.
Yeah.
And your sister can come up, and now there's somewhere for her to stay.
Right.
So I kind of see the reason to have a big house, too.
Yeah. I think you guys will keep a big house.
I don't know. Well, ours is medium right now. I wouldn't say it's big.
Really?
It's kind of medium.
Hmm.
I mean really big.
You mean like a mansion?
I mean Beverly Hillbillies big. I want a 20-car garage. No, I'm not talking about that big.
You learned nothing from that conversation.
Suddenly I realize all this talk about paring down makes me want more.
Well,
more.
Let's talk about having less if you want less kids' books.
Let's talk
about your bookshelf.
You know, this is a way to cut down clutter big time. And we're talking about Audible
Kids. Yeah. You can download Audible. You can download kids' books to listen to on your iPod. Or I heard that they're going to be available on the Zune soon.
Yes. That's you heard that? Heard.
Yeah. Paul Siopic told me that.
Yes. He probably was listening to one of our podcasts.
Really?
I mentioned that just a few hours ago.
Yeah. So
news travels fast.
Yeah. So they have so many great kids books at Audible Kids. It's amazing.
Now they're doing something really cool. You get 9 books for free.
Really? At audiblekids.com/monkeys.
Do you have the
audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys.
Oh man. Okay, let me fix that. So this thing I've got up here.
Yeah, we've got some things that we've been forgetting to say.
Okay, let's say them all now.
audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys. Go there, get 9 free kids audiobooks. Absolutely free. And you can also join the community. They have a community, a one-of-a-kind community for parents, educators, and children. And they're focused on igniting a young person's love of reading through audiobooks.
So this is a, you know, a branch of Audible that they're really excited about. And I think this is kind of a neat idea because initially you think that audiobooks are for grown-ups, and certainly many of the titles are. But you've taught me that kids love listening
to
books.
They love them. Yeah.
And I talked to Audible and they said, you know, it turns out research shows that kids listening to books helps them as readers. They read up.
I totally believe that.
Yeah, because they can listen to chapter books and then they want to read chapter books.
Yeah, I really believe it because I think, you know, Annabella has been listening. She started reading chapter books after she started listening to them.
Isn't that interesting?
That I had downloaded them from Audible. And I don't know a lot of people that do that as often. And so I have, you know, given chapter books to friends. To kids, her friends, and they're like, oh, wow, they're old enough to read chapter books. And then I also burn them a CD usually from Audible, too.
It's kind of funny because, you know, we're always talking about how you get one free book when you join Audible. And here we are talking 9 books,
9.
But they are shorter
and you
books.
Don't, and you can download 1 or all 9 of them. You don't have to get all 9 of them. And they're absolutely free.
I think that's really neat. Thank you, Audible, for doing that. So to take advantage of that offer... Whoops. You got to go to audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys, and you could choose from these titles. Oh, so it's 1 of 9. Or is it all 9?
No, 9. You can choose 1 or all 9.
You're kidding.
No.
And look at them. The Gift of the Magi, Rapunzel, Rikki Tikki Tavi, The Emperor's New Clothes, Rip Van Winkle, Interview with Lemony Snicket.
Ooh.
Has Annabella started reading Lemony
Not
Snicket?
Not yet. Not yet.
R.L. Stein book, Rotten School, the song, Peter Pan and Scarlet. This is Telltale Heart. No, that's too scary. I guess this is to show that they have all ages.
All ages, yeah. Yeah, so while you're there, you should check out the share features. You can comment on books and, you know, share the books that you're listening to with other people. It's a little social network.
I got to create my account there. That's neat.
So, and...
And there's more.
There is more. There's thousands of titles, more than 3,500 titles from over 75 publishers, including 500 titles never before available in digital format.
I wonder if my book is there yet. That's where my book is.
The one that you read?
Little Goldenrod. Golden Reinigan.
Did you look it up? Little Golden? It's really easy to find.
They would have told me. They have to. There's a long process they have to go through. They're buffing it right now. Polishing to a fine shine.
The other new thing about Audible that I have to thank listener Aaron for pointing out is they have enhanced books.
Yeah, so your book
pictures.
Is an enhanced book.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
Miss Nelson is Missing.
Miss Nelson is Missing.
By Harry Allard. Did you ever read this?
No, can I play a little bit of it?
Yeah, you should play a little bit.
Miss Nelson is Missing.
They squirmed and made faces. They were even rude during story hour. And they always refused to do their lessons. Something will have to be done, said Miss Nelson. The next morning,
and then she
Ms.
went
Nelson
missing.
Did not come to school.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Miss Nelson, did the kids offer?
I don't know. You'll have to download.
Oh,
the
it's
book
a mystery.
But it's a really cute pic book. And the
now,
pictures
what does enhanced
so
mean?
That means that the pictures are included, so you can watch the pictures on
so
your iPod.
If you're watching
video
on an iPod or an iTunes, you'll see the pictures of
right
the book.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that.
Or on your
now,
computer.
Have you tried that with Annabella?
I have.
What does she think?
They love it. It's like TV.
Yeah, it is. They're really reading? Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah, it's like TV and reading.
If you had an iPhone or iPod Touch, you'd get that nice big screen. It would
yeah
really look beautiful.
Yeah, we have a little
but even the iPod
Nano. But
yeah
on your, we've tried it. We've used it on the computer. And then
yeah
you have the big screen.
Oh, that's so
and
neat.
And it's great. And you can also use Windows Media Player if you don't use iTunes for some reason. But it's great. Audible Enhanced. And they're not any more expensive. This one was 69 cents. If you're an Audible
that's a
member
good deal. I
yeah
like that. Audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys. We thank you so much for your support, Audible. And Miss Nelson is Missing is our pick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Megan always has a pick. Sometimes for grown-ups, sometimes for kids, sometimes mm-hmm for both.
Sometimes.
Sometimes for Miss Nelson. Should we call Amanda? Is it time?
Vanessa.
Why do I call her Amanda?
I don't know.
I always
but we
do that.
We're going to talk to Vanessa. She might be around already. Let's try. We're going to talk about sexting.
See, that's why I'm anxious to call
yeah
her. I don't know what it is, but it sounds good.
You don't know what sexting
good
is? You've never heard of sexting?
No.
Should I tell you or should we wait for Vanessa
let's
to tell us?
Tell
this
us
is Vanessa Van Petten from On Teens Today. And we spoke to her last week. And
I don't think she's here yet.
Okay.
I'm going to call her, but I don't
all
think
right,
she's
you can call her.
Up
yeah
on the magic Skype mobile. What time was she supposed to be here? 2:30?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're pretty darn close.
We are.
Maybe she'll be.
Hello?
She is here. Hello, Amanda. Vanessa Van Petten. I know the last
yeah
name. How are you today?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we were a little early. I apologize.
Oh, no worries. I was just hanging out, checking email.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Do you want to see her on the video?
Are you going to send us some video, Amanda?
Not if you don't get her name
if you
right
hit me every time I do that, probably I'll stop doing that by the end of the show.
I'll just start throwing CDs
throwing
at you.
Throw CDs.
You have to hit him for me. Every
yeah
time he does
please
it
do, okay. Vanessa. I'm sorry.
No worries. I'm going to call you now. Oh, did it work?
Yeah. Look at that. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. So, Vanessa, your subject today is something near and dear to my heart.
No,
I have
no,
I have no idea what it is. It is something called
sexting.
You do this all the time, right, Leo? I know you do.
I don't even know what it is. Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Tell us what sexting is. He wanted you to
tell
us.
What am I admitting to?
Okay, so sexting is basically, I mean, you remember when like cyber sex was like the really hot thing everyone was talking about, everyone, all the parents were really freaking out. This is kind of the new version, but the mobile version.
Are you saying kids are doing this?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, I mean, everyone's doing it, not only teenagers. Like, you know, I know I have friends that are doing it. You know, basically it's when you either are texting each other or taking photos of yourself naked or semi-naked, and then you're sending it off to your friends.
Oh, you know what? This is going on, and it's
yeah
a little shocking because some contemporaries of my son have these pictures on their phones of like their
oh yeah
and it's terrible. They're sending so kids as in high school and even earlier are sending semi-nude or sexy pictures of themselves
or
around
just body part pictures or
oh
yeah like body part. There's a lot of this going on. I'm gonna do it for you so you can see because we're on video chat. Basically, you know, like that.
Yeah,
you know,
that kissy,
of, like,
kissy, yeah.
Yeah, like cute, sexy pictures. You saw, actually, we all saw it. We saw it when Miley Cyrus did it.
Yeah, well, we didn't all see that, but I saw it.
I didn't see that.
She sent him
you
to
know
me. No, she recently got, this isn't the one that was in Vanity Fair or whatever. Somebody hacked into her phone and a couple of sexy pictures of her, she's 15, were released onto the internet. Were those real, you think?
I think they were absolutely real because, and you know why? Because there was so much what I see younger kids doing. I mean, the girl, you know, I've gone over to people's houses and parents are like, oh, I saw this picture and
yeah
they showed it to me. And it's very much like she kind of basically, for those of you who didn't see it, she kind of like tugged down her bra, her shirt a little bit so you could see her bra and cleavage.
Right. Or she
so
lifted up her t-shirt to show her off her belly. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
yeah
nudity, but it's a little shocking. I mean, it's kind of a come on. And I think somewhat I blame the fact that these kids, Vanessa, have grown up in such a sexualized media culture. This seems normal to them.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, what do teenagers, it's a given, it's a constant that teenagers will always want to feel older. Always, always, always. They want to feel like adults. They want to feel mature. What changes is, what the variable is, how are they going to do that? And so, you know, it's always, you always feel older when you're sexy. And so this is a great way to feel like you're adult, you're older, you're mature, especially for girls. It's like saying, oh, I'm in touch with my sexuality, so I'm very adult.
Yeah.
I'm very mature.
Yeah. So what would you say to a kid if you're looking at your kid's cell phone or their text messages, or you just can have a feeling they might be engaging in this? What would you tell them? How do you talk to them about this and why it's a bad thing?
It's really, really hard to explain it to them why it's a bad thing. They just don't believe you a lot of the time. So actually what I usually do is do you remember that Super Bowl commercial? It was this past Super Bowl. It was when it was like a Tide commercial, and there was a guy, and he was in a job interview, and he had a stain on his shirt.
Yes.
And he was talking, and the stain was talking louder than him. Do you remember that?
I loved it. Yes.
Okay. So I actually, there was a family where the girl had done this, and the pictures were a little bit more risque than Miley Cyrus's. And I showed her this tape, and I said to her, you know, this is kind of like that, in that anyone who sees this is now the first thing they're going to think. Anything that you say about it, anything you say later, they'll be able, this is the first thing they're going to think about you, that picture. And it will always, always get around.
That's really true, isn't it?
And it will. And no matter what you say, no matter what later, and you don't know who's going to see it. What if your math teacher saw it? And that's right. Usually what I'll say is I'll actually make them all say, everyone think of your math teacher. Everyone think of your history teacher. And everyone kind of goes, okay. And they're thinking about it. And then you go, now imagine them seeing your cleavage.
Ugh.
And that usually brings it really right home for them.
Yeah. Then that's gross.
Actually, right. Being married to a high school history teacher makes it a whole different thing for me. So,
not Marco, but another high school history.
But I see how that could be a really good way
to
teach them.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is it's just like it's there's so many combination of things that, like, teenagers are. There's been scientific studies done that they don't think before they do, before they act.
Right.
And so that's texting. You know, you. Texting your body part to someone, it's so easy. You know, I take the picture, I press a few buttons, and it's gone.
Right.
And then I think that's part of the problem.
And like, you also don't realize it lives forever. That it,
right.
you kind of feels like it's just a temporary little thing I did. And that's why I like what you're saying, Vanessa. Tell them this is always what people are going to think of from now on.
There's an element, and I talk about this with cyberbullying a lot, that what's really changed now, you know, as I said, the constant is always kids are going to be trying to do things to, you know, shock their parents or to feel older. What's different now is the instant, you know, the fact that they can have an idea, oh, I really like this boy. You know,
right.
Teenagers really think in extremes. There's no black, there's
right.
no gray. It's all black and white. You know, I really like this boy. He is the one for me. You know,
right.
that is really, I mean, I remember thinking that way. And so in that moment of, I really want him to like me. I really want him to think that I'm sexy and that I'm cool. They'll take the picture and they can instantly disseminate it. And so that has, I think, really changed also, you know, permanence, that it's up there forever, and that you might be sending that picture to one person, but they could send it out to hundreds of people also instantly. You know,
let me tell you something, kids. Boys send these pictures around. They don't hold on to them. They go, oh, do you see what she just sent me? And they pass them around.
It's empowering. Every boy wants to feel like they have, oh, look what she sent to me.
Yeah.
Look at this gossip. It's very empowering.
Right.
And that's a real problem.
Wow.
Also, I wanted to just mention, I wanted to bring this up when we're talking about sexting. Yes, there are definitely girls who will do it just because they want to feel sexy. But we also have to, you know, think about the fact that a lot of the time boys are begging for them to take the picture.
Oh, you know, yes.
There's
a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure, you know, where you'll be dating someone, especially now with the online boyfriend girlfriends, and parents will say, sorry, you're too young to date. Okay, great. So they get online and they go, okay, I want to have an online boyfriend. I can't see them. And the boy's going, oh, your parents won't let you see me. So the least you could do is send me like a little cute picture. Come on, send it, send it, send it. Everyone else is doing it. Cheryl did it last week. I mean, I don't really want to date you anyway if you're not going to send it to me.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. So parents also have to keep that in mind too.
There's a lot of there's got to be a lot of pressure to do that. So when I when you said sexting, I thought you might be talking about sexy text messages. There's some of that too going on, isn't
there? Yeah. Like with cyber sex, but through text messages. So right. You know, I mean, actually, I'm not going to give an example. I was going to say, you know, and then I was going to give an example, but I'm actually not going to do that.
No, please don't. I'm easily offended.
No, I'm not going to do that.
My shell-like ears. I don't think I could take it.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, saying what they would like to do to each other over
right,
text.
Right. And that's also very seductive. And I think that can also lead to then these exchanges of photos. There's this, you know, I think part of it is that we aren't really trained how to deal with these new cyber environments. So our bodies don't understand it. And it's possible to get in real trouble without ever leaving your home. And parents think, oh, you know, what trouble could she be in? She's just, you know, texting or she's just in her bedroom. And you really can get in a lot of trouble and get seduced into stuff that you would never do otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the it's funny because I think that there's a lot of, you know, people know, and you remember this from high school, I'm sure, that you know the girls who would send you the picture. You know the girls who it would take a few weeks to get them to send you the picture. You know the girls who wouldn't. And you know, like I heard one of my kids use this term and I just burst out laughing because I had never heard it before. But you know, we were talking about people and I said, oh, you know, who do you really connect with at school? And he says, well, there's one girl, but she's a real fortress. So I don't think that.
Oh, how interesting.
He goes, oh, you know, you couldn't penetrate the walls. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that.
That's what we used to call a good girl. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So what do you suggest parents do to help their children avoid sexting?
So yeah, what I was saying before is I think that it's really good to show them. I actually use that commercial. It's on YouTube. I think if you search Super Bowl Tide or Stain Talking commercial, it's on there. I also, you know, like to talk about Miley Cyrus, especially for a lot of the younger girls. They, if you actually explain to them what probably happened to her,
right,
or ask them what they think happened to her, right, you know, do they say to them, you know, could you imagine someone going into your phone and looking at it? Do your friends ever pick up your phone from your backpack? You know, pinpoint for them all the times where their phone has been taken from them, or, you know, they say, I would say to them, you know, we see a lot of the text messages on our bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would pinpoint all the times where they could get caught, and that will just open the conversation up to why you wouldn't want to do it even in the first place. Because, you know, there's two really discussions we're having here. The first is don't get caught. And the second is don't do it at all. Those are two different conversations. So it's always, I think, good to start with the here's all the ways it could be spread and it could stay around forever. And here's also the reasons why you shouldn't do it in the first place, because, you know, boys won't respect you. Once you send around that picture, that's it.
What about boys doing it? Do you have any message for boys doing it? Because I don't think it's any better for boys to be doing it.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
There's not as great a social consequence to the boy.
No, but I think that it's also really good to point out the social consequences there are. I mean, if I were a boy, right, and I was in high school and I was doing these sexting things, you don't know how the girl is going to receive those. You don't know if they're going to be feeling uncomfortable when you think it's all fine.
Right.
You don't know how they're going to perceive it. And believe me, if you appeal to a teenage boy's sense of security and sense of coolness, to say to them, you know, you might send this text message that you think is really sexy or really hot or whatever, and it might really offend the girl, and she could show it to all of her friends and laugh at you.
Oh, boy.
You don't know who's going to see it. And if you appeal to that, you know, their sense of reputation, that can be a really good way to sort of get them to realize, okay, maybe I shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a minefield out there, isn't it? It's hard, but I really think that's one of the reasons I wanted to do a show like this, Megan, is because it is hard for parents, because the digital world is so different now. It's hard for parents to know how to deal with it. So it's good that there are people like Vanessa around who have grown.
Thanks.
You grew up with it.
Yeah.
I grew up with it. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you one example. I was at, I went to Emory University in Atlanta, and there was a girl who was, this is my freshman year. So she was just turned 18, and she was like a pimps and hoes party. And now those are very popular. In
Wait a minute. Talk a little. What the hell is that?
There is, it's very popular. Sex parties or like themed parties are very popular where you have, I'll list off a few for you. You'll love these rhymes. People are just so creative. So there's pimps and hoes, you know, where the guys dress up as pimps and the girls dress up as.
Is
like,
there sex going on at these parties or is it just play acting?
Is it like a 70s party? Like it's just a costume party?
No, there's hooking up too. A lot of like really, you know, illicit dancing, making out. There's definitely some hooking up that goes on afterwards, especially because there's almost always alcohol involved. Pimps and hoes is one. I know that over Christmas, what did I go to one in college? It was called Candy Cane Men and Missile Hoes.
Candy Cane Men and Missile. Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
so it's got
it.
A Christmas theme, pimps and hoes.
Yeah.
How festive.
CEOs and business hoes. All these things. Always, of course, always the man has the CEO and we have the hoe. You know, it's like, great.
Nice deal. Yeah, there's a deal for you.
Yeah. And so at these kind of parties, I went to this one. It was a pimps and hoes parties, and she was kind of dressed in this really skimpy outfit, and she was dancing, and there was like a lot, you know, of course, like very sexy dancing. And she had, I guess, she was wearing a very short skirt, and a guy was sitting down at a couch while she was dancing, and he could see up her skirt, and she wasn't, she was wearing very, very small underwear, and he basically took a picture, and it was all over. It was all over this whole chandelier.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, and it just, I think that especially, you know, yes, the digital age changes everything, but also you have to tell them, if you're going to go to a party, you just have to be aware.
You're in public. You're in public now. YouTube means, and it's true for congressmen, it's true for college kids.
Exactly.
You're in public now. No matter where you are.
That's a good point.
I will actually, I don't like to do all scare tactics, so I'm gonna say that there is positive things, that I do think that teens are becoming more and more aware of the fact that they have an online reputation, and that this is now teachers are finally starting to talk about it, and they're definitely aware that, okay, I have two reputations to manage here. I have an online reputation and I have a real reputation. So they are becoming more aware, and they might even be more aware than parents even are, because they're on it all the time and they've seen friends do things. They might not tell you, but they've definitely seen friends who've gotten in trouble for things. So they are aware of it. I hate being all scare tactics all the time.
Good. No more scaring.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. It's great to talk to you. Always a pleasure. You give
Thanks
us such a
so
nice
much,
perspective on this so that we know what it's like to be a young person again. Well, Megan remembers, but I don't.
I don't remember.
It's been way too long. Thank you, Megan. I mean, Vanessa. Thank you, whatever your name is. Thank you, Vanessa. It's great
thanks
to talk to you. I know who she is. I do. Take care, Vanessa. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm terrible. I just, you know, it's because I'm getting old and my mind isn't what it used to be. It's not the steel trap that it was last week.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because it's hard to tell if these are the same things kids would be doing anyway, you know.
Well, that's the point, I guess, is now it's in public, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, you know, they're saying in the chat room, I think this is really interesting. It's not the guy's fault. She went there in a skimpy outfit. I'm not saying it's the guy's fault, but I think that it's important for girls to, and everybody to know
right.
that if you do this kind of thing, there is a very real risk that it's going to become public.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, if you don't want it to be public, don't do it.
Someone else in the chat room pointed out that someone in their local school got caught with those pictures on their cell phone and was charged with child trafficking, child porn.
Oh,
and I read this.
It is, though,
I read this
isn't
it? In the paper too. I think that is true. That yeah, like if you're sending
underage.
Those pictures, even if you are underage, even if they are of yourself, you can be like that's how they are taking you know, threatening people.
What
like,
it would ruin your life. It would ruin your life,
right? Because I mean, you know, if you really are caught for trafficking child porn, even if it's a picture of yourself. That might, that's if that's on your record,
that's just
either
yeah,
way, it's
yeah,
not, you
that's
know.
Just awful. Okay.
I don't know if I can go on.
No, let's, let's raise the tenor of our
okay,
topic.
Okay. Let's
get some feedback. From our fine listeners.
This is from Donald from Onboard Games, onboardgames.net. He asks, do you know of any blog service that would host MP3 files and also be password protected? He runs a podcast on board games, and he says, my games in education correspondent would like to start one. He would like kids to be able to download it, yet also make sure it's password protected.
Very interesting.
So it's like he wants to host a podcast that kids do, but
only
it's not.
People can get into. My suggestion, I think, for this, I think this would be the best one, is Vox, VOX.com. You can upload audio to it. People can go there and listen to the audio, and they have three levels of privacy protection. You can make it a public post. You can make it a friends a post, or you can make it a friends and family post, or pay family only. So what you would do is say, only people that I give explicit access to can hear these podcasts, you know, and or, you know, only the student body could or whatever. I think that's, and it's free. It's a nice service. Now, there may be issues with the school district because there are ads on it. They're not bad ads, but there are ads on it. So because it's a commercial service, that's why it's free. They put ads on there, but they're not offensive. But, you know, I don't know. Some schools may not allow that. But it is a great place to post podcasts.
So you can upload, I mean, giant files to the
audio files. I don't know what the limit and length is. The other option would be to create a password protected blog on Vox or WordPress.com or any number of sites, and then use a company called Libsyn, Libsyn.com, to host the audio. You can make a private Libsyn account, one that others can't hear the audio, and then link to the audio in this Vox account. And I think that that would work. Now, if somebody figured out what the link was, or the link was passed around, other people could then listen to it. So it's not password protected. And let me have to think about that. If you really wanted it so that only people who had the password access could hear the file, I think that's going to be Vox.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be Vox for you. Yeah.
So should we try some calls that worked last Thursday?
These did not come in last Thursday, so they're probably fine. That'd be my best guess.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Ken again. Sorry to be calling up so often, but just listened to the last show about alarm clock for kids, and what we have given to us is one of the old-time wind-up mantelpiece clocks that goes ding, 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 and chimes on the hour, quarter hour, and half hour, and is really good for the kids because they know at a particular time they have, it starts teaching them about that there's such a thing as time, and then, you know, we say, okay, in a half an hour, the next time the clock goes ding-ding.
Oh,
ding,
that's a great idea.
Bim-bam, the Dutch version of ding-ding is. Then it's time to start ready to go to bed, and when the clock goes again, it's time to be in bed. And it's also good in the mornings because we keep them in bed until they hear the chimes of the clock for 7 o'clock, and then unfortunately, they get out and come downstairs. No, it's not.
Yes.
So that's a little tip. Old-time clock. Not very high-tech, but I suppose it was a few hundred years ago. Alrighty, bye.
It's actually a great idea because they can't read time yet.
Yeah. So
but they can hear the chimes.
Right.
And I don't know if they even make these clocks anymore. They ring the hour, the half hour, the quarter hour with distinct rings. So you could say that's the half hour ring, that's the quarter hour. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Get a cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo clock. Yeah, they still make those. Yeah. We had a cuckoo clock when I was growing up as a kid. I think that's a great idea.
I can't remember. Either my grandmother had one. I can't remember. I know there was a cuckoo clock in my life at some point. Michelle from Indiana writes, I live hours away from my closest relatives, and we are an eight-hour drive from both my parents and my husband's parents. Therefore, being able to share the latest photos and videos of our baby with them is really important.
Uh-huh.
So I stumbled around the web trying to find the best way to post items for family, but continued to worry about privacy. I got recommendations from friends and family and randomly tried things that I found on my own. But the biggest issue was that pictures were in one place and videos were in another. I was asking Nick, that's her son, Nick's grandparents, to set up accounts all over the place. Photos on PhotoBucket, videos on YouTube. And every time I would put up something new, someone would have trouble getting to it for one reason or another. So then I found TotSpot. Totspot.com.
Oh, I never heard of that. T-O-T?
T-O-T-S-P-O-T. It's actually billed as social networking for babies.
Of course, because you've got to start early.
Right, which I think is kind of scary. But what it is, it sounds like pretty good. I haven't really tried it yet, but this is me speaking. I haven't tried it. But Michelle says she set up an account for my son and invited his aunts, uncles, and grandparents, and we haven't had an issue yet. They set up big people accounts, and they can become Nick's friend. They get emails when something on the site is updated. I think that's really important.
Because
a lot
really
of people
great.
Like are just not going to go to blogs every day. You know, it's just like, well, you need to tell me. That. So if you can get an email whenever the site is updated, I think that's really great. And
so
I can
it's
even
only a month old.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
And she says, I can even let other people contribute pictures and videos to his site, which is great because my sister always takes a tons of pictures but never sends them to me, which I think is great too, because then, yeah, it's kind of like a joint site.
What a great, I think you should sign up for this.
Yeah, I think I will.
So they have a child account designed for mom, dad, or guardian. And they have a grown-up account designed for grandparents, hip uncles and aunts, cool cousins. So if you're a parent of kids, how many kids, expected and included, are you adding to Totspot? I should add my kids to it. That would really make them crazy. Hey, kids, I just made a social network site for you. Forget MySpace. Forget Facebook. We've got Totspot. Oh, they'd love me.
So, and she says they can't house the video directly, but, you know, it has to come from YouTube or Vimeo. And she uses Vimeo because individual videos can be password protected.
Very good. Vimeo. All right. That's very good.
It's free and there aren't any, have any ads. They don't have any ads.
Yeah, I love that.
So Totspot. How they make money, I don't know.
Oh, they don't need to make money. They're only a month old.
Right, exactly.
Why make money? You don't have to make money for the first 10 years, don't you know
so,
that?
So, yeah, I'll set up a Totspot. And, but Michelle is a geek, and if she likes it, then I trust her.
All right. Do you trust our next caller? That's
I don't
question.
Know yet.
Hey, Megan. This is Jeff from Birmingham. I just wanted to call. I had a couple questions. Actually, one question and one comment. I heard the podcast with Dr. Mike from the PDCast. Really love that. Would love to get him back on the show and maybe take some user questions either from Twitter or via email. He was just really, really good. Second was, I was wondering if you guys could define what a tween is. I have heard multiple things that it's just the 10, 11, 12-year-olds, but I've also heard some people say that it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. So I appreciate it, man. Love the show. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I don't know what the official definition is. I just saw a definition somewhere.
I think it's, you know, it's getting younger every day.
It's not pre... See, I think the 10, 11, 12 is preteen. I think tween is like 8, 9, 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're really young.
I don't know. I think it's used however, like, the marketing person wants to use it.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's funny because, you know, like, in the 50s and 60s, the word teenager didn't even exist.
You're kidding.
Know? There was no, like...
Really?
There, yeah, I was...
It's
was,
that recent.
I think so. I heard an interview, and they were talking about Catcher in the Rye, which was written in the 50s, I think. And they... That just being a teenager, that time didn't exist. It just wasn't, I don't know if the word existed, but the what we think of as teenagers now, like just, you know, having all this extra time and money and everything, that didn't really exist. So I wonder if like tween is going to be as ubiquitous a term as teen is.
Here is the Wikipedia, ever useful, ever helpful, definition of tween. Tween is a neologism, that means a newly minted word, and marketing term. That means dreck, especially in the West, which means roughly the same thing as preteen. Okay. It is a portmanteau of between and teen. We knew that. The age range of tweens is generally considered to be 8 to 12. Marketers describe the driving psychographic motivation of this group as desperately wanting to be a teen, but not about to stop being a kid. The term was first used in The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings.
Huh. Tween?
A tween refers to hobbits in their 20s.
Oh.
And they're too young to really...
Interesting.
I remember that. So J.R.R. Tolkien coined the word tween. And that's pretty amazing. That's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I play another voicemail? No, that was one. You have
it
another
was.
Letter?
I do. I have a message from Dale from Tech Talk for Families.
Okay.
He says, I want you and your listeners to know that 101 uses for baby wipes hasn't pod faded.
That was the site we talked about.
Dennis Gray, the host, has listeners in the tens of thousands, but has had some other responsibilities that have kept him from recording.
Well, these things happen.
In fact, two daddy panels have been recorded that haven't been posted yet, but likely will be eventually. And I know it's just a matter of time before Dennis gets back to some kind of recording schedule. Incidentally, Dennis, PD Love from the Daddy Cast, and other daddy panelists also write reviews for techdocforfamilies.com. So if anyone wants more from them, they can stop by and read.
Good thing. Here's a call about the web button.
Ooh.
Let's see what this... Or came from the web button.
Oh, excellent.
He's trying the web button. Apparently didn't work. He's trying to push the web button.
I think that's Wally calling us, actually, to say I appreciate the review of the movie last
week. Interesting. This apparently says how it's coming in, and that one said web button. But what didn't mention is...
It didn't work.
Didn't work. So would you describe what the web button is?
The web button is, it says call me. It's a little button
it's on the jumpingmonkeys.com site.
And you type in your phone number, area code, and I guess, I don't know if there's a spot for...
I think your name. I think your name is. And maybe your subject, I don't know. But.
And then they call, yeah, they call you, it calls you back. So it's just like you type it in and then you wait by a phone and it calls you. I was going to say, I don't know if it's international.
It's really cool because then you don't have to pay for...
I tried it and I think I left a message.
Well, let me try it right now, shall we?
Sure.
Should we actually try our own web button?
We should. And then we should let people...
Go home.
Go do something else.
God knows we want to.
Get back to your kids.
No, that's exactly what they don't want to do. That's why they're listening to Jumping Monkeys. You know, as long as you're listening to Jumping Monkeys, you can't hear the kids cry. That's our new slogan. What do you think? You like it?
As long as you're listening to Jumping Monkeys with your headphones.
Oh.
But... Some kids are really loud, and mine, for example.
So that wouldn't work for them? All
right. But if you're on your commute, you know.
Yeah, right. So you can't hear the kids cry when you're on your commute either.
Yes.
So let me try the web button here.
Well, you're trying that. I want to thank our guests. I just want to show people.
Okay, go ahead.
There's the call me button.
See, right there under Megan's smiling face. Mm-hmm. Call me. Let's push that button. Here's your name and your phone number. Leo Laporte. And then I'm going to put my phone number. And it's private. If I don't check that, then it shows up. Otherwise, it doesn't show up for us. We don't even see the number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
800-555-1212. Call me. And then I press the call me button, and it's going to connect.
Is that your... What number did you just put in there? Fake number?
Yeah, directory information.
So it's going to call directory information.
Yeah.
Were you just seeing if the
I just want to see if it worked.
The JavaScript worked?
It worked.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you to our guests.
Should we actually call to see? I'll call.
We'll
go ahead. Thank the guests.
Okay.
I'm going to call
thank
myself.
Thank you, Dave, for coming from Guy Named Dave. And thank you, Vanessa. And next week, we're going to be talking to some local Petaluma folks who have, they recycle toys. And they have some puppets.
Ooh.
And it's going to be very exciting.
They're local.
In here in the studio.
Oh, so we're going to have puppets in the studio?
With puppets.
How fun.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Central is connecting your call.
Okay. So this is the call that came into us.
Okay.
It's calling us.
So hi, this is Megan. Thanks for calling Jumping Monkeys.
If you'd like to leave a message for our show, just record it, but make sure it's not too long.
Yeah, short.
Sure. And
can you
we
hear
should
the message?
Warn you, because the lawyers say so. We may use this on the Jumping Monkeys netcast. So by leaving this message, you're giving us permission, okay?
Oh. Hi.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Leo and Megan saying hi.
Yeah, so call us. Leave your tips, too. If you have some tips, websites, just general parenting tips that other geek parents might like, leave those for us, too.
We love those. Yeah. And that number, again, is...
707-981-4602.
There you go.
Thanks for having me, Leo.
Yeah, well, we had a great time. It was really fun to talk to Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
See, I remembered her name.
Yes, good job.
And a guy named Fred. It was really good to talk to... No, Dave. It was really good to talk to him. And great to have you all here. We appreciate your coming by. We hope you come back again real soon now, all right? On...
Jumping Monkeys.
Bye-bye.